for me. Roy, is that your first four-hand organ duet? Yes. A first for Summerside, a first for us. It's very much fun. I welcome you to this service and all those on live stream and all our singers and choristers to our service this morning, the 1st of August. Nancy is taking a well-deserved break for a couple of weeks, so you get me this morning for announcements. I would like to welcome Roy formally back to Trinity. You know him well. And it's really wonderful to have him here. We've had a little bit of fun preparing for today. It's been wonderful for me, and together we just enjoy making music, and that's the wonder of music when you get someone who shares that passion, and I think we work pretty well together. So you have your announcements in the bulletin. Anything that's going on, please take a look at that and make sure you've read it over. And if you would like to attend, there's lots of things to do this week. Rachel has many things on the go, so mark them on your calendar and come on into the church. Next week, I'm away on holiday for next week and the next. Roy will be here with Lori Campbell, and the following week, Karen Brennan and Melissa McCarville will be here. So make sure and come and hear their music in the next 2 weeks as well. As we ponder and prepare ourselves, we acknowledge that the land upon which we gather is unceded Mi'kmaq territory, Ebigwit, Prince Edward Island. It's covered by the historic treaties of peace and friendship. We pay our respects to the indigenous Mi'kmaq people who have occupied this land for over 12,000 years, past, present, and future. And as we prepare for our worship this morning, let's take a few moments to ponder and be thankful, and Roy and I will play a little bit to help us do that. Shall we gather at the river? Thank you.
Good morning and welcome. I'm glad to be back, and it's always good news when Anna tells me at the door we ran out of bulletins, and then Hannah tells me at the other door we ran out of bulletins. It's always a good sign, especially in August, and I think Lisa said this is one of the hottest days of summer so far. Yes, we're going to keep it under an hour today. For those watching from home, welcome as well, and it's wonderful to be in this space together, this sanctuary today. And today we come with an open heart and an open mind. We begin a four-part sermon series on four women of the Bible and listening to their story, being a witness and listening to them speak. We light the Christ candle as a sign and a symbol of Christ's presence with us. In the call to worship. Let us come together with praise on our lips for you, O loving God. We come with great thanksgiving, and we ask for our hearts to be opened. Let us come together within this time and place to offer our presence to you, O loving God. We come seeking understanding, knowing your journey with us. We are not alone. We are called to worship. Amen. And as a Christian family, let us join our voices together and pray the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So I'm sure you've heard me say more than once that I came at the end of a hurricane and started a pandemic with you all. And still we're here. We're present. We're here. We are continuing to move forward in not only our community with one another, but our community out into the greater community. Our communion goes beyond just the sanctuary out into the world. And that's something that we work towards as part of our mission here at Trinity, not just in the sanctuary, but out into the world. So when I first arrived, there was a rumor going around that I was going to try to match Reverend Hamilton's record of visiting every single person in a year and a half. And I was well on my way, Reverend Hamilton, well on my way. 159 home visits. Then in March, they shut me down. 159 home visits, and I was shut down. And I was only here since October the 9th. But we're going to start back up again. This fall, and I remember Duncan said to me, you really want us to, I'm starting it back up again. This fall, I want to pick up where I left off, those initial home visits. Now, I know some of you I've seen many times, and we've talked on the phone, and you've been at the sanctuary, but if I, and you're welcome to it, if you would like me to visit you at home, to sit down with you in your place, to be in your place, then I'm going to put this wonderful book, it's got hummingbirds and flowers on it, and I'm just going to put it where we usually put our guest book, and I'm going to put it there at the end of the service today and throughout the summer and the fall. If you're interested, put your name and your phone number, and this fall, we're going to start calling you and setting up those home visits yet again. Again, only if you're interested, only if you feel comfortable. We know that we are still in a pandemic, and we want to make sure that we meet you where your comfort level is at, and I'll make sure that I take all the proper safeguards when I come to visit in your sanctuary, in your home. So 159, so Reverend Hamilton, just to let you know, that 160th visit, that starts day one then, okay? So I may not have gotten my year and a half in, but I'm going to count the months back, and we'll see how I get along. Deal? Deal. All glorious gods. Amen. And today we are going to join our voices together in singing 672, Take Time to Be Holy, in Voices United, 672.
Psalm 37, it's in your Voices United hymn book, page 763. regret because of the wicked, or envy those who do evil.
For they soon wither like grass and fade away like the green leaf.
Trust in God and do good.
Dwell in the land and there find safe pasture.
Find your delight in God,
who will grant the desires of your heart.
God will make your vindication shine like the light,
and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun.
Be still before God and wait patiently.
Do not fret because some prosper in evil schemes.
Let go of anger and abandon wrath.
Do not fret. It can only do harm.
Those who do evil shall be cut off.
But those who look to God shall inherit the earth.
In the little while, the wicked will be no more.
You will look where they were, and their place will be empty.
But the meek shall inherit the earth.
They shall enjoy fullness of peace.
Salvation for the righteousness comes from God, their refuge in time of trouble.
Sarah, Adam's wife, Abram's wife, hadn't yet produced a child. She has an Egyptian maid named Hagar. Sarah said to Abram, God has not seen fit to let me have a child. Sleep with my maid. Maybe I can get a family from her. Abram agreed to do what Sarah said. Sarah, Abram's wife, took her Egyptian maid, Hagar, and gave her to her husband, Abram, as a wife. Abram had been living 10 years and... Abram had been living 10 years in Canaan when this took place. He slept with Hagar, and she got pregnant. When Hagar learned she was pregnant, she looked down to her mistress. Sarah told Abram, "It's all your fault that I'm suffering this abuse. I put my maid in bed with you, and the minute she knows she's pregnant, she treats me like I'm nothing. May God decide which one of us is right." "You decide," said Abram. "Your maid is your business." Sarah was abusive to Hagar, and Hagar ran away. An angel of God found her beside a spring in the desert. It was the spring on the road to Shur. He said, "Hagar, maid of Sarah, what are you doing here?" She said, "I'm running away from Sarah, my mistress." The angel of God said, "Go back to your mistress. Put up with her abuse." He continued, "I'm going to give you a big family, children past counting. From this pregnancy, you'll get a son. Name him Ishmael. For God heard you. God answered you. He'll be a bulking bronco of a man. a real fighter, fighting and being fought, always stirring up trouble, always at odds with his family. She answered God by name, praying to God who spoke to her, You're the God who see me. Yes, he saw me, and then I saw him. That's how the desert spring got named. God alive sees me spring. That spring is still there between Kadesh and Bered. Hagar gave Abram his son. Abram named him Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar gave him his son, Ishmael.
Please join me in prayer, and let us pray. Listening God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, dear God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today we begin a four-part sermon series on women of the Bible, There are many female voices within biblical texts that we should make time for in such a way. But for the month of August, I've selected four that have always claimed my attention. Each week, we'll invite their unique and individual voices into a time of listening and witness. Last spring, during a time of study leave, I was able to further unveil each of their stories through different books, commentaries, music, and even poetry, giving their stories a true pause that lifted and claimed time for me to listen and for them to speak. I examined how we might better understand the four women we will discuss this month and how they can aid us, teach us, journey with us in our own faith, our own relationship with God, and our evolving discipleship, because our discipleship should evolve. So let us begin and move back the curtain as we truly witness Hagar. Now, I'm not going into the historical background and how I personally feel about this as a modern-day woman. That would be my voice. And that would be, in my opinion, distract us from truly being present to Hagar. Her time, her place, her reality. This scripture itself sets up the story of Hagar quite well that Colin shared. We have a good idea of what's going on in her time, in her culture, and in her context. Just from that story, we have a good idea. Hagar was referred to as a maid to Sarai in the message version of the scripture today. She was the servant of Sarai. Hagar's value and her personhood is wrapped up in her identity as a maid servant to Sarai. Within the story, we are told that Sarai was having difficulty bearing a child for her husband Abram. Her maid, Hagar, belonged to Sarai. And as such, Sarah made a plan. Hagar would be offered to Abram to bear him a child. Hagar became pregnant, and in these times, this might be the end of the story. But Hagar has a voice. She found her voice, and she responded. This reality consequence, one might say, from the plan that Sarai put in place, caused the conflict we hear about in the first part of the text. Hagar had no choice. This was not her plan. And as such, she claims her new reality with a voice. Rightfully or not, she claims her voice in her current situation. Hagar's so-called value as a servant has suddenly increased with the child she is carrying. Sarai responds to Hagar's new way of being. She is upset. She shares this distress with Abram, and Abram steps aside. Sarai, you may do as you wish. So let's recap. Sarai, in her will to give her husband a child, makes a plan. The plan is fulfilled. And as a result, there were feelings from both women around this scenario. Hagar has achieved the very thing that Sarai wanted. And Hagar claimed this newfound power within her situation. In that power, the voice of Hagar was revealed. On the other hand, Sarai wanted this to happen for Abram, but suddenly, within this new reality, felt beneath her own servant. A servant who could give her husband what she thought she could not. So in response, she begins to treat Hagar harshly. So harsh and so abusive that Hagar leaves. The second part of the story is where we encounter the divine intervention, one might say. We have a visit from the angel of God. The godly messenger not only shows himself to Hagar, but relays to her a message from God. In doing so, we are witnessing recognition, seeing, and listening that God shows to Hagar. Finally, someone is listening to her. listening and recognizing her current situation in the context and the culture that she's living in. She is being seen and she's being heard. You see, for Hagar to choose to leave meant she was leaving everything behind. She had nothing to go to. But she felt under the situation, she must leave. Her world is difficult. Her situation difficult. And that is not being taken away or ignored in today's text. There is no magic solution. But through her reality, through everything that she's going through, she is shown that she's not alone. God was with Hagar. Finally, she is being seen as more than property. Hagar is seen as a person, a valued person, in and through the situation that she's in. Now, we've read many times and heard many, many stories of encounters of messengers from God in biblical texts. And they are always pivotal moments. Do you ever notice that? They're pivotal moments in the story within Scripture. Moments when someone is told that they are not alone, that they are loved, that they can reach out to an ever-present God, a God who loves them, a God who knows them, a God who will listen, even in the most difficult of situations. A God that's not a genie or a vending machine. A God who sees you, who sees me, who sees all of us, and in and through what this world brings. In and through the situations that we encounter, Hagar is told that she is not alone, and through things, and even though things will be tough, there will be a threshold moment in all of this. She's told that today. She will bear a son. He will be named, showing that God heard and God answered Hagar. Now, I don't always like Old Testament texts. I'll be honest. I don't even agree with everything this messenger said to Hagar. But I do celebrate her courage, her resilience, and the fact that finally she is seen for more than just property. She is seen. And she's heard. Hagar is responded to by God, and God answers Hagar. In verse 13, we are told, and I love this verse, she answered God by name. She answered God by name, praying to God who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. Yes, he saw me. And I saw him. There is great trust throughout this relationship that Hagar built with God, a relationship that is truly that, a relationship. She sees and responds to God, and God sees and responds to Hagar. In this story is messy. However, if there's one thing that I have learned in the continuing study and conversation around biblical texts like today, they are messy. We are messy. We are messy people. But guess what? We are not alone in the messiness of our lives, and we are loved through it all. That's the good news here. In today's story with Hagar, that God does listen and God does respond. Not like a genie, not like a wizard. God responds to us in and through relationship. God is in the mess with us. Relationships are messy, but we're reminded again today that we are people of God. And we are all seen by God, and we are all loved by God, we are all heard by God, and God listens. God weeps. God laughs. When we recognize God the way Hagar did, we realize we are not alone. We are in this relationship with God, and that creates a space where the realities of our world are not ignored. This is not a story about skipping down the garden path. The realities of this world are not ignored. Our voices are not ignored. Only talk to me when you have something good to say. That's not what God is saying here. And rest assured, we will be listened to. God gives us strength, embraces us in our pain, weeps with us, journeys with us in our helpless anger and in our distress, and lives into promise, shows that we are not forgotten. None of us are forgotten. Hagar, as a person, revealed that today. Thank you, Colin, because we heard her voice. All glorious God's. Amen. And we are now going to share in all our voices and be heard as we sing together our hymn 286 in Voices United 286, If You Will Trust in God to Guide You. As you know, through the pandemic, one of the things we have not brought into our regular service as of yet is the passing around of the offering plates. They are located at the back of the church, as well as there is different ways in the bulletin that Wendy shares on how that you can offer your time, your talent, your resources, and how those will make a difference in the life and ministry of Trinity. But we think it's important to pause and to bless that offering. So please join me in prayer. Let us pray. Loving Creator, help us to remember that we were made to love. In doing so, we bring who we are, we bring our talents, we bring our offering, so that it may continue to show the loving ministry of your church out into the world, beyond the sanctuary. Bless our offering as you have blessed us. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Please raise your banner, Redeemer, Creator.
prayer. And let us pray. Holy God, aid us in reaching out and supporting those who mourn, those who are in times of struggle, those who are in need of a kind word. In a world that can be so rushed and distant, please give us the courage to respond with love to all those in need, to journey in this world with the heart of Jesus, to answer the Christian call to respond with love. Loving God, encourage us to stand firm in our faith, to stand with those who are oppressed, to listen, to be a witness, and to seek response. Responses that heal our hurting world. Help us to be present and give us the courage to witness what this world can and will bring. Joining with all voices to continue into healing and needed change. Hearts full of compassion. Give us time to pause, to listen, discern what we must do. Compassionate God, give us the gift of compassion. Allow us to make decisions from discerning hearts and to offer love and comfort to others. And in times of doubt, may we pause to listen to the words of grace that you offer each of us. Remind us to claim time to reflect. Give us the willingness to see wisdom and to be present. To be prayed to those who are suffering loss and feeling disconnected, help us to bring connection. We pray for loving responses that create bridges of support. We pray for justice, for war to cease, for love to change hearts. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We do have a response in this world. It is our choice to respond. And today, let us join our voices in the hymn 654, All My Hope Is Firmly Grounded. Number 654. thank you all for being here to worship today, be it online or in person. A special thank you to Roy and Louise, to Paul, to Lisa, to our three wonderful choir members. And this month, you're probably going to see some faces at the door that are greeting you. Our youth and our young people will be taking care of all the greeting at the door for the month of August. We also have youth readers calling was our first this month for August. And our youth readers are booked right up to Thanksgiving. I'm just so pleased at when we call and we ask, the response is always yes, and they're here. So thank you, Anna. Thank you, Hannah, and thank you, Colin. Let's give them a round of applause. And I said I was going to keep it under an hour. I think I told you, Keith, 50 minutes. As we leave this place today, I commission you all to be alert, to stand firm in the faith, to be valiant and strong, but let all that you do be done out of love. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Amen and hallelujah.
Thank you.
Oh, there we go.
How about this?